Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
When a young person goes into recovery for drug and alcohol abuse, can they still use medical marijuana for their anxiety? We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, Recovery is Not for Sissies. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to empower you to get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address, please don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And if this month of May we select your question for a podcast, we'll send you a free copy of my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle. Please remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy. Well, today we're hearing from Anita from Santa Rosa, California. And Anita writes, my 23-year-old daughter just got out of drug and alcohol rehab and is doing pretty well. She's been struggling with substance abuse since her teen years and hasn't been making good decisions about relationships, education, jobs, money, etc. Now she wants to get a decent job and work towards getting her own place. Here's my question. She insists that marijuana isn't a problem for her and that it calms her down and reduces her anxiety, basically that it helps her. She cites medical marijuana as proof that it really is medicine and not necessarily a recreational drug. It's true that when she is on marijuana, she is much calmer. Should I go along with her decision, or should I stay with the rule that in order to live at home, she needs to be completely clean and sober? Okay, thanks for your question, Anita, and it really is an important one. Our ideas about marijuana are definitely in transition, and it can be confusing. You know, we used to think that marijuana was similar to heroin in its destructive capability, and then when it became popular and was widely used, we realized that it wasn't as destructive as people thought, and it also had medicinal qualities. Many states legalized medical marijuana, and now it's being legalized as a recreational drug similar to alcohol. Many people use marijuana to relax or simply to get high, much like many people will have a beer or a glass of wine to relax and to elevate their mood. So while many people benefit from medical use of marijuana and many enjoy its psychotropic qualities recreationally, it is still a powerful and potentially addicting drug, just like alcohol. You can listen to my podcast overview with Amy Rose titled The Truth About Youth and Marijuana today if you want to learn more about it. She's a wealth of information. But here is the thing. Your daughter is different. Your daughter has addiction issues. How did this develop? Sounds like she got involved as a teenager and has been involved in a self-destructive lifestyle ever since. So, let's say she started with drug abuse at age 15, and now she's 23. Think of all the learning and the growing she missed out on during those 8 years. You know, at age 23, many young adults have made progress with education and jobs and have enjoyed a productive young adulthood where they've explored life and challenged themselves in certain ways. Sure, young people make a lot of mistakes, experiment with different relationships, identities, often drugs and alcohol too, but hopefully these journeys into self and world discovery are productive, and when things prove destructive, they learn from the experience, make adjustments, and move on. It's not the case with your daughter. For her, the cycle of drug abuse won the day, and that's affected her progress in life and likely her neurological development as well. And I'm sure she has not grown her executive functions the way that she could either. And she's going to have delays in those areas. Now, it may very well be true that her involvement with marijuana is related to anxiety, and she's been doing what's often called self-medicating, and that's where someone uses alcohol or drugs to reduce emotional symptoms like anxiety or depression or loneliness. If we're thinking from a medical model, sure, if someone has anxiety or depression, the question will be, what medicine do we have for that? But even using a medical model, a good psychiatrist is not going to prescribe marijuana, particularly to an addict in recovery. In a wellness model, on the other hand, we don't think about medicating our problems. We think about how to deal with life's challenges, with our humanness, our feelings, how to deal with our problems. We use wellness skills to manage difficult feelings and problems. Anita, your daughter has not been developing herself for a long time and has serious catching up to do. If we're trying to improve our lives, the question to ask with any behavior is it a net positive or a net negative in our life? Your daughter claims that marijuana is positive. I seriously doubt that. She needs to learn to deal with her anxiety productively. How do we manage anxiety? What are the healthy skills to use? We either want to address a stressful situation directly, for instance, if we have a responsibility we have to take care of that's making us anxious, go ahead and take care of it so that you'll feel less anxious. Or change how we deal with the problem emotionally. For instance, use self-soothing skills, mindfulness, rethink the situation so that it's less overwhelming. I'm sure that your daughter was taught many of these strategies in her rehab program. Here are some other gems, right? Get emotional support. Do things that are self-valuing and make you feel good about yourself. How about diet and exercise? Two huge factors in how we feel. Way better than medication, certainly better than cannabis. Anita, let's look at another aspect of this. What are your daughter's long-term goals? What are her interests and her talents? What's her plan for moving towards a goal that engages her interests and her talents? It's not enough that she's clean and sober, because if she isn't moving towards something important and compelling, she's just surviving. And that's a recipe for problems. She doesn't need a specific career goal. Let's just say she's very social and very artistic. Should she be moving in the direction of marketing, for instance? Well, if that's the case, how about some business or communication classes? I mean, there's a million hypothetical scenarios I could imagine, but there needs to be a direction that she can relate to and feel motivated and excited by. Let's say she and you agree that she needs to start taking classes at her community college. But she's had problems with academics in the past. How are we going to leverage success this time? That's a good question. Let's create some strategies. How about some educational testing, educational support, and let's make sure her schedule includes a class or two that's going to be fun, such as figure drawing or yoga, for instance. All right, now back to the marijuana question. How does marijuana fit with this path forward? Is it going to support success? Is it going to undermine success? Well, generally speaking, marijuana use correlates negatively with educational success. So, if it's on the wrong side of the ledger, we don't do it. Anita, what you could do with your daughter is sit down and establish some clear goals and some actions, and then look at everything that will support success and everything that can undermine it. For instance, on the support side, having a to-do list for each day, getting up at a certain time, having specific NA meetings, Narcotics Anonymous meetings to attend, assuming, or AA meetings, yoga class. These are all on the will support success side of the ledger. I'm thinking marijuana use is going to be on the undermines success side of the ledger, just like hanging with her old drug-using friends is going to be. So just coming out of rehab, your daughter is high risk for relapse. If she's going to be successful, she needs to embrace all the elements of success and reject all the potentially negative elements. Now, there's another area to talk about here. What have the family dynamics been like? After all, your daughter and you and whomever else is in the family have a family dynamic that's part of the problem whereby your daughter became involved in substance abuse and stayed involved in drug abuse. And no doubt your family is also part of the beginning of a successful path forward where she went and finished a rehab program. What are the healthy aspects of your family dynamic, and what are the unhealthy dynamics that support your daughter's dysfunction? I don't know the answer to that, but knowing the answer is critical. Maybe a dynamic is that she lobbies for lower expectations and you agree, thinking that half a loaf is better than none. I don't know. And that's where having an experienced family therapy in the recovery plan, as well as an individual therapist for your daughter, and perhaps even a sobriety coach. Anita, orthodoxy in substance abuse treatment is that using some drugs and just staying away from the worst ones is like changing seats on the Titanic. Either way, you're going down. It's a setup for failure. If your daughter needs medical help with her anxiety until she can do the emotional maturing she needs to do, she should see a psychiatrist who is experienced working with young people in addiction. That way, they can make a proper psychiatric diagnosis, prescribe non-addicting medication if appropriate, and be part of her recovery team. So listeners, if you have a teenager or a young adult who's trying to turn around a substance abuse problem, yes, sobriety is everything. But don't forget the bigger picture. Who is this young person and what is their potential? What are their dreams? Where are they going? Now, how is their parent, their friend, or therapist, can I be a supportive part of their path forward and not inadvertently support relapse? Undeniably, changing one's lifestyle and rejecting all the self-destructive behaviors of one's past and embracing all new behaviors is pretty damn radical. Yes, recovery is not for sissies, but it's wonderful. Thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and many thanks to you, Anita. I've sent you a copy of my book. It should arrive shortly. And if you're enjoying and benefiting from HFC, Healthy Family Connections, please leave a review for me there on iTunes. And for this month of May, if your question's selected for my podcast, we'll send you a free copy of my book, Ending the Parenting Control Battle. And I really mean it when I say, please prioritize taking care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.